This morning in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Super Bowl number one. You'll be out in plenty of time to get Super Bowl two. Be back for Super Bowl three tonight. This is the third this morning, the third in a series of messages entitled Roads. Tonight, my message will be The Road to Samaria. And I want you to be here. And I want you to bring somebody with you. The Road to Samaria. A much traveled road tonight at 7 o'clock. But now in Acts chapter 16, I shall begin reading at verse 6 after we pause in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for the road to Macedonia that changed the entire complexion of Christianity. May we retravel that road today with the battle-scarred Apostle Paul, having as our desire and as our determination the proclamation of the gospel of redeeming grace, not only here at home, but around the world. Not only for the 99 who are safely tucked away, comfortably in the fold, but for that one, yea, that multiplied many times one around the searches of this globe who have never heard the name of Jesus. For that man and his family, for that woman, for that boy or girl in this house today who needs to commit their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, may they come today without hesitation and follow Him. In His name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit, and one translation that I read has it, but the Spirit of Christ suffered them or permitted them or allowed them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we, notice the change from the second person to the first person. Verse 6, when they, now and we, Luke includes himself because he joined Paul at Troas on his second missionary journey. We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, that is a Roman colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. come over to Macedonia and help us. That cry has been made in every language known to man. For while you sit comfortably upon a cushioned pill in a warm building, reading the Word of God, there are yet 1,700 languages and dialects that have not translated one word of the Bible in their own native tongue. The road to Macedonia. The greatest proponent of the gospel of Christ was the Apostle Paul. His testimony in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power, the dynamite, the dynamo, the explosion. It is the dynamic of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. The road to Macedonia is paved with tears and sweat and blood. The Apostle Paul made three missionary journeys across Asia and into Europe. Estimates have gone as high as 10,000 miles that Paul traveled, mostly on foot or camel caravan. Together, of course, with his sailing on the Mediterranean, the Aegean, and Adriatic seas. In his first missionary journey, Paul just simply tried his wings. He only went in that province that was native to his own country, out of Palestine into Syria and into the southernmost regions of Asia Minor. But in the second missionary journey, he reaches the shores of Europe. Paul's conquest with the gospel of Macedonia opened the door of the gospel to Europe. The conquest that Paul made is far greater than the conquest that Alexander the Great made when he carried the Greek language and the Greek culture into the heartland of Asia. His conquest with the gospel of Christ into Macedonia is far greater than Caesar when he stepped on the shores of Great Britain. His conquest with the gospel of redeeming grace to Macedonia in his second missionary journey is far greater than Columbus when he sailed to the New World. For you see, Alexander conquered with a steel sword, and so did Caesar. But the Apostle Paul conquered with a sword of the Spirit. When in the book of Ephesians he dresses up the Christian warrior, he says to him, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the gospel of truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Bearing with you the shield of faith. Wait. And above all, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul conquered two continents with a sword of the Spirit. It all begins on the road to Macedonia. Why is that so important? For this reason. Paul had in his own mind to go into Asia. After all, Paul must have reasoned, the gospel was cradled in the land of the Orient. Orientals first spoke the truth of the gospel of redeeming grace. Why not then take the gospel to Asia? And Paul designed and planned and prepared to go into Asia with the gospel. But God, that makes all the difference in the world. It made the difference between the gospel being in the shores and heartland of Asia and the gospel being in Europe. But God, the Holy Spirit of God, forbade Paul to go into Asia. It was this simple. When Paul reached Antioch in Pisidia, which is in Asia Minor, if Paul had turned eastward in his journey, the gospel would have gone to Asia. By turning westward, the gospel went to Europe and finally to America. Our forebears did not come from Asia. They came from Europe. One directional signal. Let me insert at this point that when God speaks to you in a certain direction, you must go. For Paul's direction to the west changed the complexion of Christianity. If Paul had gone eastward, then the temples and the cathedrals and the churches of and houses of worship may have dotted the horizon of Asia and the banks of the Indus and Ganges rivers in India and on into China. And the Chinese and the Indians and the Japanese would probably be sending missionaries to Great Britain and to America. But it all turned around. Paul went westward. A small step for a man, but a giant step for a movement, the movement of Christianity. You and I have heard the gospel. We have been brought up in Christian environs because Paul obeyed the Spirit of God and went to Macedonia. Macedonia is a peninsula jutting out into two seas. To the west is the Aegean Sea, and to the east, the Adriatic Sea. It is the gateway to Europe. When I think of Macedonia, I think of three men. First, I think of a man named Philip of Macedonia, who began to be a world figure. From the year 382, for almost 50 years to 331, Philip ruled Macedonia and surrounding environs of that peninsula. When he died, the second man comes to mind, Alexander, called Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, in less than 10 years, conquered the whole then known world and died of a terrible disease in Babylon. From 331 to 321, he conquered the then known world. Let me tell you an interesting story. I'm just putting this in now. This is not going to cost you anything. Let me tell you an interesting story about Alexander the Great. He conquered the ancient Phoenician city of Tyre, T-Y-R-E, on the Mediterranean coast. From Tyre, he sent to Jerusalem to get food to feed his army. But Jerusalem refused. When he conquered Tyre, in spite of the lack of help from Jerusalem, he went down the coast to the Gaza Strip. He conquered Gaza. And from Gaza, he started toward Jerusalem. Alexander the Great. Well, when he got to the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem, who do you suppose met him? The high priest of the religion of Judaism had on all of his sparkling, long, flowing robes. This is what Josephus says. Had on all of his robes glittering in the sun, and behind him were the lesser priests with their white robes, and behind them were uncounted thousands of Jews in white robes going out to meet Alexander the Great. Now, the Jews are smarter than you think. They knew they couldn't withstand the power of Alexander the Great. They knew he had a score to settle with them. They knew they had refused food for his army in Tyre. So what did they do? God's working now. They took the manuscript of the book of Daniel with them. And here they go, marching westward to meet Alexander, who's come to conquer their city. And when he came, the high priest said, Sir, let me show you something. Did you know that you are in the sacred record of the Hebrew Bible? Why, no, I didn't know that. So he turned to what we know as the 7th chapter of Daniel and said to Alexander the Great, there you are. And you know what Alexander did? He went with him into the temple in Jerusalem and offered a sacrifice on the altar. His right-hand man said to him, why did you do that? He said, well, back yonder I had a vision. And I was told in a vision that the high priest in Jerusalem was going to meet me and we were going to make peace. And so instead of taking the city of Jerusalem in ruins, he joined them. If you can't whip them, join them. That's the moral of that story. Amen. Alexander the Great's the second man I think of who conquered the then known world in less than 10 years. But I think of a third man. His name is Saul of Tarsus. He's the greater conqueror of all three. And he writes to us in Romans, we are more than conquerors. We are more than Philip. We are more than Alexander. We are more than Napoleon. We are more than Charlemagne. We are more than the Caesars. We are more than Nebuchadnezzar. We are more than Belshazzar. We are more than Sargon. We are more than Tiglath-Pileser. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Paul was a greater conqueror than any of these. For when he made his way to Macedonia, he brought the gospel to Europe, and Europe brought it to America. And America has become the greatest Christianized nation in the world. I can imagine that Paul standing looking over the Aegean Sea. He saw the plain of Troy. He knew in his own mind, having read history and literature, that that is where the Asiatics and the Europeans fought it out. Homer, in his Iliad and Odyssey, tells us about that. It's gone down in history and in literature. Across that Aegean Sea, the gateway to Europe. And the Holy Spirit said, Paul, go to Macedonia. And he did. And there were three cities in particular that Paul preached in Macedonia. Philippi, named after Philip of Macedon. Thessalonica, named after Alexander's sister. And Berea. Those are the three chief cities of the Roman colony of Macedonia. If the gospel gets in Macedonia, it's the northern half of what is now and what became later known as the Greek colony of the Roman Empire. That meant that the gospel would go to Greece, Athens, the intellectual capital of the ancient world. And one day after that, Paul stood on Mars Hill in Athens and preached for the first time the gospel of redeeming grace through the resurrection of Christ to the Athenians. See, God's working out that plan all the time, that program. Athens, then comes Rome. What are the two outstanding cities of Europe in Paul's day? Athens and Rome. If Paul can get the gospel to Athens and Rome, it will go all over the world. Why? Because from Athens and from Rome went the intellectuals and the merchants and tradesmen and historians and travelers to all of the world. Paul knew once he got to Troas, picked up Luke, the doctor, who records we now went into Macedonia. If he could get the gospel into the chief cities, the countryside would sooner or later hear about it. I think we in our modern day mission endeavor can take a lesson from that. If we get the gospel in the commercial centers, the intellectual centers, the trade centers of the world, it will find its way into the smaller towns and villages and provinces all over the world. You know why you are seated on this corner in this auditorium this morning? Because Paul traveled the road to Macedonia. He took the gospel to the shores of Europe, and Europe brought it to America. And our forefathers crossed the plains, the Mississippi River, and forged their way across the great expanse that we know as the United States. And right here in the heart of Texas, the gospel is being preached this morning because Paul traveled the road to Macedonia. Thank God for the road to Macedonia. You and I may have never heard. They might be writing about us in China this morning. Multiplied millions of Americans never heard the gospel. They might be sending missionaries from India saying, go to the Southwest and evangelize that state they call Texas. But wait. You have heard the gospel. You are saved this morning by the blood of Jesus because Paul traveled the road to Macedonia, across the Aegean Sea, and finally across the Adriatic Sea went the gospel. And all around the Mediterranean, if you drew a picture, it'd just be like a half moon from Jerusalem down here all the way over to Rome. Then from Rome into Europe, into Great Britain, Spain, and ultimately to North America. You know why? Just so that you on January 1972, January 16, might hear the gospel of redeeming grace. You've got a road to travel this morning, mister. Down this aisle, to this front, and with a contrite spirit and a sincere heart, just say yes to Jesus. And the reason that Paul and the purpose for his going to Macedonia will again be seen in the auditorium of Worth Baptist Church. The call goes out. Who will answer? Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, this morning, we are indeed thankful for the road to Macedonia, for the sweat and the blood and the tears that made possible the advent of the gospel to Europe through the Macedonian gateway all over the continent and finally and ultimately to our own shores. We thank thee as Americans that Paul traveled the road to Macedonia and got a foothold on Europe, and that the Europeans finally brought the gospel to us. If there be one man or woman or boy or girl in this congregation today who has not anchored his or her faith in Christ, may that one come today and say yes to Jesus, that eternal yes. Here is my life, here is my soul, here is my all for Christ. May we as believers answer the Macedonian call this morning to go into our neighborhood, to go across the street and down the alley and by the way and across the sea and around the world, to take the same gospel that Paul preached in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea and all over Macedonia and all over the world of his day. Grant, O God, that some might answer that call too, is our prayer in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed before the choir sings a hymn of invitation, let me appeal to your heart this morning. I do not appeal to your head. There is not enough knowledge, there's not enough book learning in all the libraries of Alexander in Egypt or Athens in Greece to enlighten you of your soul's eternal damnation without Christ. There's not enough power in the sword of Rome and Russia, all of her satellites and all of the countries of the world, and all the stockpiles of the United States. There's not enough power to blast the sin out of your life. I want to tell you this morning, there's but one way. And Jesus has already made it plain. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mister, just let me put it to you like this. The only way you'll ever get to heaven is by the way of the cross, the way of Jesus, the way of sacrifice. I offer that way this morning to you. Whatever your condition, come this morning and trust the Savior. Come this morning and commit your life at an altar prayer as a Christian to answer the Macedonian call to go to the regions beyond, beginning at home, next door, and take the gospel wherever God sends you with it. You see, God does not give you a task equal to your strength. God will give you strength equal to your task. If you're here this morning, you'd like to become a member of Worth Baptist by letter from another Baptist church, by baptism, or on your personal statement of having been baptized in a Baptist church, we open the doors of the church to you. Salvation, dedication, church membership. While the choir sings and while you remain with your heads bowed in prayer, who'll be first to come and answer that appeal today? be first.